Be very, very quiet. Elmer Fudd is hunting rabbits. It's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. The Medicare podcast embarrassed that Prince Charles is such a dope. Ignoring red left turn arrows, it's Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Oh my goodness, it's Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast time again, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. We are here to entertain you and to help you feel good about Medicare. I don't know why anybody thought that would be a good idea, but I did eventually. I wrote a book called Medicare for the Lazy Man. We're up to the fifth edition, I believe. It's Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022. Is on sale at Amazon now. And I am just tickled pink that you have joined us to go over some of the Medicare conversations that I have with clients, with people who want to know whether they should hire me or not to be their agent, and with Randy Carson, the engineer of this fantastic podcast. So once again, we're going to launch ourselves into a Medicare diatribe. Maybe it's more of just a conversation by asking Randy if he would play our 30-second radio spot that describes how people should obtain the information from us that we try to make available. So I'm going to be quiet now. Hopefully he's going to play that spot and then I'll be back.
Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever.
Thank you, Randy. I appreciate the good work that you did. I would have used the term that Randy just used for me that got me laughing uncontrollably right before we pushed the record button. Post-haste. How often during your average day do you use the word post-haste? Now, Randy just used it, and it got me chuckling uncontrollably. So, Randy, could you explain that, please? Why do you do that to me right before I've got to start talking?
I get up early on the mornings that we're going to record, and I try to dream up stuff that will tickle your fancy and get you giggling, because it's always fun to just set you a little bit off dead center.
Well, it worked in this case. And also the other question I have is, when I look behind you, do I see the ship that we're going to be driving up to the dock? Or
Yes. Know. I'm actually on Medicare for the Lazy Man yacht right now as we speak. I don't know if you can see the movement of the waves.
I was getting a little sick. It kind of makes me nauseous going up and down and up and down.
But yeah, so it's really a beautiful, beautiful craft. I don't know where you got it, but you did an awesome job picking out just the perfect, perfect craft for Medicare for the Lazy Man.
Well, I apparently also did an awesome job of turning it over to you, because you're the one sitting on it and I'm out here looking out at a desert landscape. So enjoy the riding around on the Medicare for the Lazy Man yacht.
Yeah, let me give it a test drive, Doug. I want to make sure that it's entirely ship-shaped, that it's entirely seaworthy, and I'll let you know when I get back in port, and you can come take a look.
I'll be checking the bow to see if it hit anything while you were testing it out. Oh, boy. Well, I told Randy that we were going to be doing some odds and ends today. I tell him every day that we record an episode what we're going to be talking about. Sometimes I change it up. I tell them, hey, we're going to be discussing this particular situation. And then what happens is I'll find something else. I'm like a pack rat. What a pack rat will do is go out looking for something shiny or interesting to hide in his nest. And he will grab that shiny, interesting thing that he finds and then head back to the nest so he can add it to his collection. But if he finds something else shiny and interesting on the way back to the nest, he'll drop the first thing. He'll completely forget about it, completely lose interest in it, and pick up a different shiny thing and take that thing back to the nest. So Randy has always accused me of being kind of like a pack rat when it comes to finding interesting things. So I start out with a stack of things I'm going to talk about, and I wind up being attracted by something else. And I'm rarely as accurate with the projections or the predictions as to what we're going to talk about by the time the actual episode starts being recorded. So one of the things I predicted isn't going to happen because we're going to run out of time. But instead of that, I wanted to announce that we have the green light or the approval from ACX. It's Amazon's Audible book publisher, that the Audible book is now on sale. And so I got so excited and I went to look on the page where all the books are there. The Medicare for the Lazy Man 2022 is there in paperback form. It's there in ebook form, Kindle. It's also listed there in hardcover, but it's when you click on the Audible book, it's last year's edition. So I read farther. I read the announcement, the email that they sent me this morning, and it said, it's going to take us a few days to get it fixed. Well, still, if it does take them a few days, if they're not lying to me, it's going to be a heck of a lot better, because last year it took them 4 months from the time I said, here are the files, turn this into an audio book and tell people they can buy it if they want. And so that was 4 months last year. The year before that, it was 3 months. And so it's this year, it's been 5 or 6 days, I think. So potential good news there. Randy hadn't heard that because, once again, I'm not 100% sure that they're not lying to me, but maybe it's going to be okay. I'll let you know next time around. I've got a bunch of pieces of paper here. Dominic Regina, one of our favorite listeners, sent me a little article that says Medicare is now covering the cost of at-home COVID tests for Medicare participants. This is written by a woman named Sarah O'Brien. I think she's Italian. So the key points of this article are, this marks the very first time in the history of Medicare that Medicare has covered an over-the-counter self-administered test at no cost. And, they're trying to give Joe Biden credit for that. So I'm going to skim over that because he's got some other things to answer for. But it says Medicare beneficiaries can now get at-home COVID tests at no cost, the government announced Monday. And it went on to say people with Medicare Part B, which is outpatient Medicare coverage, including Medicare Advantage plan enrollees, will be able to get up to 8 over-the-counter tests per month for free from participating pharmacies and healthcare providers, according to the people who can't even spell their own acronym properly, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They call themselves CMS, but they forgot about one of the M's, Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, but they spell it CMS. The initiative comes after Medicare was not included in a January mandate from the presidential administration that private insurers must cover the cost of at-home tests, also up to 8 per month. Now, I don't know who's having 8 COVID tests per month. I mean, frankly, how often?
Okay, I got a question, Doug. Just yes, let me pose this question.
Yes, sir.
8 COVID tests per month. That means if my calculations are correct, you're running through 2 of these a week. Where are you spending your time?
I don't know, but it's got to be hanging around with other people with all these tests. Are you testing each other? Or?
I mean, for God's sakes, come on. I mean, the other thing is, what kind of tests? Are these the ones where you shove the swab up until you can poke your brain stem? Oh, is that boy. The one?
I had that once, and that was no fun. Here's the picture of the test device. It looks like a stick of gum, and I can't tell you what the hell. I can't even. It says COVID-19 test. It looks like a Johnson & Johnson Band-Aid. It's that size and shape.
Oh, rectangle. Okay. So I see the little rectangle that says, you know, you're got COVID or not. It looks like a pregnancy test. Are you sure they haven't gotten a bunch of old fashioned, you know, off the shelf pregnancy tests and made them look like COVID tests?
I think back when everybody's all panicked about COVID, a lot of these things were inaccurate as all heck. And I'm thinking these are the ones that had all the false negatives or false positives. And they just said, let's just give them away to people. Well, we'll look like heroes. Everybody will vote for us if we give them away.
They're going to be really upset, though, if one of them pops up and says you're pregnant.
Yeah, that's going to be a bad thing. Well, don't wee-wee on it then. Maybe that would be the answer to that.
That's right. That's right. So that would be a problem. You know, either, you know, if you've got a pregnancy test, shoving it up your nose, or if you had the opposite, you know, wee-weeing on your COVID test.
Well, you remember I came back from Illinois and I was pretty much in a casket. They were measuring me for a casket. And I went over to our brand new hospital with 8 beds here. And they said, I said, I think I've got walking pneumonia and maybe COVID. And they said, we'll be the judges of what you have.
Yeah, we'll tell you what you've got, buddy.
Exactly. Don't be guessing. You know, you and Dr. Google are, you know, a couple of dopes. And they came in about an hour later and said, okay, we're sorry. you had your self-diagnosis exactly right on the money. So basically, they gave me a bunch of antibiotics and steroids, and it eventually fixed me right up. But they, as part of the process, I had never had one of these COVID tests before. This woman shoved a foot-long Q-tip up my nose. And I said, oh, God, give me some warning before you do that. And she said, oh, you want warning? Okay, I'm going to do it again on the other nostril.
And they pull this thing out of a box. It looks like one of those old style bottle washers your grandma used to have with some spirals, teeth on the end of it.
Yeah,
like exactly. A brush.
Yeah, it was like a version of what I would clean a gun with, you know.
Yeah, except a little bit shorter, and they usually don't put any gun oil on it.
Yeah, exactly right. Well, in this case, God knows what this woman was putting on it, but so then there was a guy there that was the X-ray technician, and I had talked to like 10 different people. I'm figuring they're all in a meeting room in the back telling everybody why I'm there, and so this guy came in the room and acted like he was starting from scratch, like nobody clued him in as to why I was there. He asked me in a very odd way, and like, how did you get here today? And that sounded to me like he wanted to know what car I drove. And so I told him, I said, I drove my wife's car. And he said, he looked at me like, what the hell are you talking about? And he said, well, why did you do that? And the only answer I could come up with, now here's a guy with, you know, pneumonia and COVID. And he's asking me these questions in a really odd way. And so I said, I did it so that I didn't have to hitchhike back home. And so this guy goes, you're really uncooperative, aren't you? All right, you don't have to tell me. You can be uncooperative. And I said, what? I'm trying to be as cooperative as I can. I'm answering your question as precisely as I can. The guy was all upset. And, he was the X-ray guy. And it turns out, you know, I had pneumonia. So I got back at him a couple of days later. They sent me a questionnaire. You know, how was your experience at our hospital? And I said, this was great. This was great. Everybody was great except the X-ray technician who made my visit very unpleasant and called me names. And I said, I hate that guy and I never want to see him again. Well, then what did I see in the local paper a couple of days after that is that hospital is hiring people and they're offering a $15,000 hiring bonus. So I don't think I really hurt this guy's career with my negative comments on the questionnaire that I received. I would like to think that somebody would at least wag their finger in his face and say, hey, you know, treat people better. But I don't think that even happened.
If they go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, if they got to go fork over 15 grand to lure somebody else in to replace him, I think they're just going to say, yep, we got another positive glowing comment on your,
that's
on
right. your service. That's right. Yeah, I was reading. It's a similar story, except it's got nothing to do with X-ray technicians. There's been an article on the internet, just about everywhere you want to look for the last, several days, and it's about a guy that lied and said he was a pilot and got hired on at British Air.
Oh, boy.
And I don't know how long he got away with it, but they said, now this really makes you feel good about their testing process and license, you know, their license review and all that stuff. They said the only way, they, well, they didn't say the only way they caught him. They say the way they caught him is that he poked a button, and they didn't say under what circumstance or what he was trying to do, but they said he pushed a button that no qualified pilot would push.
Oh, boy. Wow. That's interesting. And did the plane, well, I guess he survived the button pushing incident.
Yeah, I get it. So I want to know what he pushed, you know, like they're flying along and he pushes the, you know, what did he push? I got to know what he pushed.
Wow. Well, you know, something, we could talk about this kind of stuff all day, but I should probably finish this testing, this article about the 8 tests every month you get for free from the government. I'm so happy to be a taxpayer right now and know that they're just wasting my money like this. The initiative comes after Medicare was not included in a January mandate that everybody ought to get free test kits. I don't even know how accurate these kits are. So it says about 63.3 million people are enrolled in Medicare. Most of these people are age 65 or older. There are some younger who are disabled or have certain diseases. The balance are generally, oh, I just said that, generally younger with permanent disabilities. These populations are among the groups at higher risk for serious illness from COVID. A list of eligible pharmacies and other healthcare providers that are participating in this initiative can be found on the CMS website. Don't spell it correctly, CMMS. Be sure you spell it CMS. Oh, I guess it's CMS.gov. However, it's worth checking with your pharmacy or your doctor to find out if they're participating if you don't see them on the list. Medicare beneficiaries also can still access free testing outside their home at one of more than 20,000 testing sites where lab-based PCR tests, rapid PCR tests, and rapid antigen tests are available. I guess this would be a measurement of my lack of interest in COVID testing, because I don't know what any of those tests are. I'm hoping the listening audience can tell the difference, but there are 20,000 testing sites where you can get any one of those three lab-based tests. You can also order 2 sets of 4 tests for free through COVID.gov, the government website, which is available to all households, and it requires you to provide only your name and address. No insurance information is needed. So how exciting is that, huh? And so that came in from Dominic. Always nice to hear from him. A friend of mine called me. He's a valued client, and he's Mr. Curious, and he called me and he said, he didn't say that. I'm from the South, so I can say it. He said, I am about to get a shingles vaccine. And I asked my doctor how much it would cost to get a shingles vaccine. And the doctor said $270. And so I thought I'd call you and find out what I can do to reduce the cost of that shingles vaccine. And so I said, well, you know, I don't know, but let me Google it here. And I did. And it said many, if not most, if not all, of the Part D drug plans have a provision to pay some of the cost of the shingles vaccination if you go to a pharmacist to get it. So then I said, hey, find out if that's true and let me know what you find out. So he did. He went to a pharmacy. Now, this is a small pharmacy, brand newly established, and I don't know if it would apply to any of the big chain pharmacies, but his finding was that whatever their retail cost for the shingles vaccine, when he shows his Part D drug plan ID card, they will knock off $20 to $30. Okay, that's not ideal, but it's entirely possible. I said, hey, start calling all the pharmacies in your area. You may find a better deal at one of them. I haven't heard back from him yet, but for all of you who would like to have a vaccine for the shingles, you might just check with the pharmacists to see if your drug plan, your drug card, will cause a significant reduction in the cost of that, and might be worthwhile. This is a public service that I offer you. Randy, how are we doing time-wise? It seems like we've been dragging our our audience around the dance floor for quite some time.
We have 16 seconds left.
Okay. Let me tell you one other thing that came in the mail. This is from a large insurance company that has to adhere to all of the stupid rules that the CMS sets up because of their concern for the frailty of people who are Medicare eligible. So they've got all of these rules that people have to, agents, insurance agents have to follow. They can't just call people. They can't just make contact without being invited to make contact. And it goes on and on and on. Randy and I have read the rules to you in prior episodes and laughed. And so here's a thing from this large insurance company that sells a lot of Medicare Advantage plans, a lot of drug plans, and they sell some Medicare supplements too, but they don't talk about it that much. So their agent investigation unit has updated the agent statement request to more clearly set expectations regarding the submission of lead sources for allegations. Now, that sounds pretty hard to understand. What they're talking about here is that if somebody complains that an agent has broken one of the rules, this company wants to know up front where you got the name of the person. In other words, the lead. What was the source of the lead that you got before you went to call on this person? In other words, did you actually have permission or not? And it goes on here. It says, agent statement requests are now outlined in detail. They do outline in detail the requirements to submit the lead source that led to the initial agent interaction with the Medicare participant, as well as any other lead call recordings or permissions to contact. If you have a TV ad and the person called you because you ran this TV ad, you have to give the government a link to your television ad. Same thing for a radio ad. All agent statements and all recordings have to be on file with the government. You know, that's a fantastic use of our government money, I'll tell you right now. They probably had to hire a whole bunch of extra people for this. So you're supposed to supply all supporting documents to include a scope of appointment, which is like, sign this so I have a permission to talk to you. That's what a scope of appointment is. A lead source. Where did I get your name? I bought it from a list. Lead recordings. In other words, did the person on the phone give you permission to call? Well, that has to be recorded, and the government has to be able to hear that if they want to. This goes on and on and on. If an online permission to contact or a website, then provide the URL and a screenshot of the form the member would have seen or completed, as well as any information transferred, such as IP info. If it's a TV commercial, then provide a link to the commercial. So this goes on and on. And I thought, okay, the government is just wasting more money because their overall modus operandi is that Medicare participants are too fragile and too easily confused be able to understand when an agent starts talking about insurance. And then I realized maybe something else is going on here. And if so, it could be good news. I just don't have an answer to this, but I will say here's the bright light of the bright ray of sunshine that peeked its way into my brain. I wonder if all of this new make work stupidity, all these rules and regulations that they're implementing, all this extra work that they're forcing people to do is not a reaction to the commercials that Randy and I have been laughing about for a couple of years now. Joe Namath, Jimmy J.J. Walker, and on and on. There are television commercials on behalf of insurance agencies that try to lure people into the trap. It's like the spider luring the fly into his web. They're trying to get you to call these insurance agencies, and it may be that they're breaking the rules to the extent that the government is finally going to crack down on these things. So it'll be interesting to see if we see a reduction or a change in the quality of these commercials. Randy and I know that they're breaking the rules, but I'm not so sure that the government knew, or at least somebody complained enough that the government is starting to take action. So this could be really good news, Randy. I'm thinking maybe we'll be spared some of that stupidity in the future, although we do enjoy enjoy all the promises they make that we know that they're not going to live up to.
Well, I'm pretty sure, Doug, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure we're never going to run out of content. Somebody will dream up something else that we will be able to identify as something to stay away from.
You're right. These people are just going to go back to the drawing board and come up with something new that we'll be able to make fun of. And frankly, I don't think the government is ever going to be able to solve their, you know, rule flouting with adding more rules and more procedures for honest people to have to jump through all these hoops. It's just not going to be a good long-term solution.
I totally agree. Well, you know, we are out of time. We have definitely, we're at a position we need to bring the yacht in. I don't know if you can see out the porthole there, but we're still a bit of ways away from the dock.
That's the biggest porthole I've ever seen. That is one heck of a floor to ceiling
porthole.
15 foot wide porthole. It's not even round.
Yeah. Well, you don't fool around when you buy a yacht, Doug. This is the top of the heap yacht.
Well, it looks pretty darn nice. I got to tell you that.
So I'm going to bring it in here. But before I do, there's a few things that you talked a bit about it at the early part of the episode. But I want you to know that the paperback for 2022 is available. The audio, they claim, is available somewhere in the Ethernet. The Kindle version has been available for quite some time. So I want you to go out and I want you to hunt down that audio version, because I want to make sure that it's actually out there. Doug looked for it and he couldn't find it. So I want you guys to go looking for it. And when you do find out what the answer is, write Doug at dvj@mlmmailbag.com and let him know what you found, because it's important. Everybody has to have at least one of those, maybe two of those sources of information for the Medicare for the Lazy Man book.
Yeah, I think that probably they knew that we were going to panic. And so they sent me the email saying, if you wait a few days, it'll be there. So audience, those of you that were going to spring into action, hold off, stand down for 2 days, and then let's see what they put up on Amazon. I'm hoping it'll be the new book with the green 2022 on the cover.
Cool. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing it. The other thing I was going to mention is we're not going to cover it in today's episode, but next time I'm going to describe to you and the audience my general feeling about the accuracy of COVID tests.
Okay. I'd like to hear that, because I haven't heard good results.
Based on personal experience. So anyway, thank you all for joining us. We certainly appreciate it. Without you, it wouldn't be any fun at all. We're looking forward to seeing you next time. But in the meantime, you have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy. And as I've mentioned before, the guy just bringing the yacht into the port for Medicare for the Lazy Man. And we hope that we don't hit the dock.
I'm worried about this, Randy, but good luck. My fingers are crossed. Bye-bye.